Now Mel will break your heart. He used to be a guy, but now he's a girl, if you know what I mean.
Good man, that woman.
Oh, say, can you see in the blinkless electron gun eye of the mainstream media mirage that what we hail are the hallucinations of authority and progress and righteousness, whose sweet and stern voices have captivated and conditioned millions of human creatures, stimulated them in passive acceptance of technological disruption and destruction of our environments, of our histories, of the possibilities of alternative ways of being, whose seven stripes are broken swastikas, whose 50 stars are black holes sucking 200 million atomized existences into the daily routine of the human herd of hamsters, rolling the great wheels of the death machine, squeaking at the shocks and nibbling the cheese, and reciting and discussing and delighting in their mutually shared programming history, in their lives, in their cancers, their TV shows, their deaths, their jobs, their ignorance, their endless, pointless, foreign creeping, their glorious glide nosedive into their paycheck's pleasures, into an ecstatic emptiness, a glowing incinerator, a parking lot full of businessmen, conspiring and colluding on the big dream, the big lie, the big nauseating, screaming, sweating nightmare of business America, media America, corporate America, consumer America, fascist America.
I am Katrina Rose. I'm an attorney, and I'm a transgender legal historian. I'm also someone who actually cares about whether or not transsexual and transgender rights continue to exist in 2006 and beyond. As such, I'd much rather be a trans flake than a trans fake. Yes, welcome to the 54th edition of I'd Rather Be a Trans Flake Than a Trans Fake on the Trans FM Radio Network, hosted by Katrina Rose. Definitely not brought to you by the really, really fucked up, creepy JonBenet Ramsey guy. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Unless things get even weirder with that. And I imagine that as the Republican hopes in the 2006 election get even worse, things will get weirder. I imagine five or six scapegoats aren't going to be enough. They're going to need many more. Unless things get weirder, I ain't saying any more about Mr. Carr. I'm also not going to say anything about his attorneys. Yeah, anyone accused of a crime does deserve legal representation. But for one particular of his attorneys, please think about what you're doing. I'm not going to say any more than that. Unfortunately, I have a feeling that within a couple of weeks, everybody will know what I'm talking about. I hope that you won't. I hope that I'm completely wrong and everybody will just forget about this, but I've got a bad feeling. As if just looking at Mr. Carr doesn't give you a bad feeling enough. What a fucked up creepo. If anything, though, hopefully by now you might have seen some of the home movies of his family's out on, I don't know, YouTube or wherever. I've seen him being running on MSNBC in the background. You know, however creeped out that the guy looked when he was arrested, there's some clips of him maybe 10 years ago with a really, really fucked up neo-80s hairdo, mullet doesn't even describe it properly. You know, he looked worse even then. I think that's more than needs to be said about the JonBenet Ramsey dude. let's cleanse our palates with some music and then get to some other incredibly disgusting stuff. We'll be right back.
to leave the action, just to leave the reaction. I'm getting young, gotta move on, gotta go on and on. Just to leave the action, just to leave the reaction. I'm getting young, gotta move on, gotta go on and on. Just to leave of nowhere, just to leave of somewhere. I'm getting young, gotta move on, gotta go on and on. Just to leave of nowhere, just to leave of somewhere. I'm getting young, gotta move on.
Is actually going to be coming out with a new album soon. Hope so. It's been a while. I wonder, will the press move on from JonBenet Ramsey Dude to Dana International's new album whenever it comes out? I don't think so. Well, hopefully the music cleansed your palates. A little trans music, a little non-trans music. Now get to the obnoxious political type stuff. And this is something I yanked off the net, and as I'm doing the show, I actually haven't listened to it yet, but I have a feeling, just on general principle, it's going to be worth examining. It's a radio show by a right-wing religionist theocrat named Albert Mohler. And this one is, at least according to the description, is about a female-to-male transsexual. So, you know this one's gonna be good. Not!
This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.
Why is it that I have a sneaking suspicion that it's going to be anything but that.
Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators.
All of that sounded really inspiring, didn't it?
I'm very thankful in this 21st century to have the kind of antibiotics we have. No small thing to know that these bugs that killed off millions of persons in times past are now considered more of a nuisance than a tremendous threat to us.
Okay, so he starts out with heavy-duty hypocrisy. Doesn't sound like it. I cut out a little bit of it. He said he had been off for a couple of days with strep throat, and he's praising antibiotics. How did we get antibiotics? Science. Okay? Science. Religion. All right? The religionist junta that controls what's left of the U.S. government is anti-science. They don't believe in it. This guy is a even though I haven't heard anything he said yet, I've seen his website, I can guarantee you he ain't liberal. He ain't Democrat. Ergo, he supports the anti-science ruling junta of the United States, yet he's praising things that science gave us. Think about that. Think about that. Fucking hypocrites. If it's something they want, science is okay.
Folks, there are all kinds of things going on in the world today, but one of them, the New York Times, just demands our attention. Let me just tell you about it for a moment. It's one of those stories that just grips you. And in the case of this particular story, it's not just the words, it's also the visuals that went with it. It's in the fashion and style section of the New York Times yesterday. And it is one of those things that catches our attention precisely because it is so out of the ordinary and yet is presented by the newspapers, if it makes sense. I wrote about it today at albertmuller.com. This is how I started. Quote, it just saddens me to see so many of our strong butch women giving up their womanhood to be a man, end quote. I followed that line with this. Now, there's a statement your grandmother probably wouldn't understand. The whole issue of gender assignment surgery and transgender persons and all the rest is now rocketing onto pages of the New York Times, for instance, as one barometer of our culture.
Just now getting into the New York Times. Think about that.
In terms of lesbians asking, are those who were lesbians and are now transgendered and turn themselves from women to men, are they joining the other side? Are they joining the enemy? And this newspaper article goes into such things of moral consequence as the Michigan Women's, that's M-O-M-Y-N apostrophe S, music festival, having to put in its advertising that it is open to, quote, women born as women, living as women, end quote. Folks, a story like this tells us that we are living in a time of grave, that's G-R-A-V-E, not just great, but grave moral confusion. When we are so confused over gender that you have a lesbian music festival having to limit itself to women born as women, living as women. And by the way, when we talk about this, I'm going to read to you from the website of the Michigan Women's Music Festival, which indicates that if you are a woman, born as a woman, living as a woman, who happens also to have children, one of them being a little boy, age 10 or younger, if you bring him, he has to be segregated in a boys' camp where he's kept away so that no one with an XY chromosome will infect the larger festival.
Well, this is shaping up to be one of those weird right-wing religionist rants in which you could take part of it out of context and you see that he's ragging on the Michigan Transphobia Festival. And, of course, I'm sure most people listening to this show call it that, the Michigan Transphobia Festival, which is what it is, run by a bunch of lesbo-Nazis. And I said lesbo-Nazis as opposed to feminazis. Lesbo-Nazis, that people who hate transsexuals, because that's what the people who run that festival are. Of course, hopefully you've gotten enough of a whiff of Mr. Mueller to realize he's not chastising them for not allowing trannies in. He's chastising everything.
Welcome to America in 2006. We're going to be talking about what this says about the culture. We're going to be talking about the issue of gender. And the bizarre stuff in this news article is not really peripheral, but it's going to serve more as a catalyst for us to look at the deeper issues at stake. Stay tuned. And if you want to go ahead and look at that newspaper article, go to albertmohler.com. That's Albert, M-O-H-L-E-R.com. Look at the article entitled, Want Proof That We Live in Strange Times? Go to the links and get ready to call. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK.
Okay, now apparently while he was waiting for people to call in, he veered off onto something other quasi-gender related, namely an article about single-sex education. I'm not going to play all of it because I'm feeling I'll be running up towards time issues towards the end of the hour. But he gets towards, after he's been into it for a while, he starts talking about brain sex. And now, granted, I don't want anybody to think I'm deliberately trying to take this out of context. I think he gave his URL, I think. It's albertmohler.com. He, you know, for all his faults, he's pretty good about archiving his shows. You can find this. It's from the August 21st, 2006 edition. So you can listen to the whole thing if you want. He comes up to a back. Well, he comes back to talking about science.
And Ms. Martin is with the ACLU Women's Rights Project, and Katie Schwartzman is a staff attorney of the ACLU of Louisiana. This is what they said. In addition to being unlawful, that is, single-sex programs, the rationale behind these programs is bad for kids. Advocates of sex-segregated schools offer pseudo-scientific workshops where educators learn about alleged brain differences between boys and girls. Now, I just love this. You talk about pseudoscience. Alleged brain differences between boys and girls? Let's just talk facts here. They are different. That's not pseudoscience. That's science. And by the way, it's well-accepted science. It's all over the place, both in terms of the academic literature and the popular literature. Says,
yeah, and they're kind of, like, accepted in transgender research, although what's accepted about it in transgender research is one step beyond what he's talking about. And, of course, what he isn't going to talk about is that it's these brain differences that prove tranny-ness. That you can have a penis-bodied person with a female brain. Bing, 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 bing! Something that results from something that, you know, things that haven't been concretely proved yet, you know, like hormone imbalances, etc., etc., etc. These people will wave the flag of science. Number one, when it benefits them, and two, when they can simply wave it without actually abiding by it. It's hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. Religionism, theocracy, yada, yada, yada.
Says, quote, although these ideas are hyped as new discoveries about brain differences, they are in fact only dressed up versions of old stereotypes. Well, they're dressed up versions of just old reality. You know, a little reality therapy would help here. Goes on, and again, Ms. Martin and Ms. Schwartzman say, the most reliable evidence available shows that proven approaches to educational reform, such as smaller classes, teachers with decent salaries, and parental involvement, make more sense than separating boys and girls based on outmoded stereotypes. End quote. In other words, we're going to avoid the issue. We're going to deny the question. We're not even going to dignify the question. We're simply going to say, we need smaller classes. You know, we need more money. That's going to be the answer. There's no basic differences between boys and girls.
And notice how he avoided the issue of the question of, might smaller classes actually help? Of course, there's also the possibility that it could be both. And I'm not saying it is, but he's obviously refusing to deal with the possibility that it could be both. Smaller single-sex classes. Bing, 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 bing. More money. Bing, 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 bing. Living wages for teachers, dignifying their profession. Oh no, can't do that, because these clowns, what they never are flat out going to bluntly say, at least when they're in this mode, trying to make themselves sound reasonable, their goal is to eliminate public education. And for that matter, really to eliminate even private education that's readily accessible. Their goal is to drag America back into the 12th century. You know, just like the mullah's Islam has done to the Middle East. None of this actual education for people. They want all knowledge to be controlled by their little group. The religionists, the theocrats. They don't want anybody to be able to read. They don't want anybody to be able to have the tools to figure out that the people behind the curtain are doing everything, or they're living the lives that they won't let the peasants lead. Not because there's any morality, because it's wrong or right. It's because they're in charge. They have their own little culture, their own little aristocracy that they want to keep for themselves. Never let the peasants get any power. When you look at the real research, the real the real think tankedness among these people. They all start saying that things went wrong when the rabble started having time to think. Things were wonderful back when people had to work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Ever had to work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week? Now, there have been some very small instances when, you know, places I worked more overtime, we had to do that for a couple of weeks running, but certainly not for years and years and years all of our working lives. But, you know, I'm guessing maybe some people out there have had a couple of weeks running when they might have had to do that. Did you really have time to think about anything? Did you really have time to pay attention to the news? Did you really have time to think about what the treasonmeisters who have stolen your government are doing? My guess is you didn't. And on top of that, if you happen not to be able to read to begin with, yeah, think about it. Think about what their agenda really is.
You know, there are all kinds of digital instruments out there. One thing I would like is kind of the, the shock meter. It'd be great to have some kind of meter that really reflected what people are thinking in terms of their shockability when they see something. Because I don't think the New York Times, at least the editor of the fashion and style section on Sunday, really intended to shock people. At least the way the story is written, it doesn't appear to be self-consciously written as if it is to shock the reading audience. But I think it will. Now, that may tell you a whole lot about the New York Times. I think that probably is undoubtedly true. It may tell you a whole lot about the people who read the New York Times on a daily basis in that metropolitan area. But I think it also says something deeper about our culture. You see, the story is really about what happens in terms of the feminist and lesbian worldview when a woman, that is a person born as a woman, decides to have a sex change operation and becomes a man or presents herself as a man.
Now, I would love to be able to monitor what was going through the internal headphones there. I'm guessing if this was in a real radio studio, unlike what I'm, you know, where I'm presenting or putting together my show at, which is in my office, second floor, spare bedroom of my house. I'm guessing it was a radio studio. He has headphones on, and there's a producer in on the other side of the mixing board, giving him, you know, cues and everything. And I'm betting, I would bet everything I own that somebody caught him. Somebody gave him a nudge right after he said, becomes a man. Said, oh, you fucked up. You actually acknowledge the reality of transsexualism. No, you got to rephrase that real quick. Again, I don't know, I just have my suspicion.
That is, a person born as a woman decides to have a sex change operation and becomes a man or presents herself as a man. Are they then the enemy going over to the other side? This has become a storyline in the lesbian soap opera on cable television known as the L Word, where one character named Maura, who decides to become Max, finds this response from one of her lesbian friends: it just saddens me to see so many of our strong butch women giving up their womanhood to be a man, end quote.
Okay, now, as an aside here, I've got both the first and second season of The L Words on DVD. I don't have Showtimes. I've only occasionally seen an episode of it as it was originally run. Just, you know, happened to be out on the road in a motel somewhere when an episode was broadcast. I've watched all of the first season, about half of the second. And again, I haven't seen any of this third season when this particular FDM character arrives. Have there been any male-to-female lesbians, male to female, L's on the L Word? Again, having not seen all three seasons, I can't say for sure. I sure as shit haven't heard anybody talk about one. Think about that.
Now, when I quoted that in my article, again, I said, now there's a statement your grandmother probably wouldn't, or for that matter, couldn't understand. We're talking about a whole new moral conversation we're having in America today. And a part of this is simply because if you just go backward in time, there is no such category as a transgendered person, maybe a transvestite, but this is a part of the modern, or better stated, the postmodern theory of a very plastic and liquid sexuality.
See, and if you ever have any doubts why, I play so much of this right-wing bullshit and analyze and parse it. You know, it's these little sound bites. You know, historically there's no such thing. Now, again, the word transgender, that is relatively new, you know, 35 years or so. But this historical spin he's putting on it, part of me actually gets orgasmic when I hear this absolutely wrong bullshit. Now, being, you know, in addition to an attorney, I'm an educator. Why would I love hearing people talk about shit that's wrong? Well, it gives us ammunition. This is empirical shit to point out that these people are empirically wrong. All right? He's not trying to he's trying to distinguish transgender from transvestite. Okay. But he's not... And he, again, he at some points in here waves the flag of science. But intersexuality is the scientific fact, not his right-wing religionist theocrat-ism. Okay. Reality is butt-fucking him. He doesn't even know he's being butt-fucked by reality, but he is. So just bear that in mind. Look, remember what history actually has presented us with, the actual historical picture regarding where we come from, how we existed, etc., etc.
That's where the elites in this culture simply decided that gender is no longer a matter of biology. It's no longer a matter of how you are made. It's a matter of how you feel and how you feel at any given time. And now you have the interesting intersection, and here's really the point of our discussion today, the interesting intersection between the ideology of feminism and this ideology of absolute personal autonomy that says you have the right to be whoever you want to be. Let me read to you from the article in the New York Times yesterday. And now remember the statement that I just read you. Quote, the sentiment was a tamer version of what many other women wrote on lesbian blogs and websites in the weeks after the episode was broadcast last spring. Many called for the Max character to be killed off next season. One suggested killing him by, quote, testosterone overdose. The reaction to the fictional character captured the bitter tension that can exist over gender reassignment. Among lesbians, the group from which most transgendered men emerge, let me just put a little period there. That's something that maybe a lot of people wonder about. Now, this is the New York Times writing here saying that the group from which most transgendered men emerge are lesbians. That is the group that produces these persons who undergo the transition surgery from woman to man. Back to the article, the increasing number of women who are choosing to pursue life as a man can provoke a deep resentment and almost existential anxiety, raising questions of gender loyalty and political identity, as well as debates about who is and who isn't and who never was a real woman.
Okay, now put that in the context of what the radical anti-transgender bigot Janice Raymond had to say in the book, The Transsexual Empire, something that the gay community as a whole has never accepted any responsibility for. I mean, granted, typical gay man, lesbian on the street, you know, strictly speaking, didn't have anything to do with it, but let's face it. Raymond grew out of 1970s lesbianism culture, all right? And the harm that has done to transsexuals is irrefutable. I mean, it's there. It cannot be disputed. Yet, politically, the gay political structure in this country has never, ever acknowledged any community responsibility for what that book did to transgendered people. Now, think back to that book and how Raymond pretty much, didn't even acknowledge the existence of FDMs. I mean, there's some of it there, but you don't really see her acknowledging that it's an issue. I mean, she's ripping male to females to shreds, and is, you know, of course, all of it's very, very paranoid rationalization. I mean, so much so that, you know, if in fact she still holds the same views, I have no doubt that she probably does. I mean, she really, really needs some mental help. The paranoia is that bad. But you know, FDM stuff, it actually exists. Surprise, surprise. And of course, right-wing psychopaths like Albert Mueller are having fun with it.
Now, again, let's just think about this. This is the place for intelligent Christian conversation. We need to calmly and biblically, as Christians, think, what are we talking about here? How do we engage a sentence from America's certainly leading newspaper when it talks about debates about who is and who isn't and who never was a real woman? This is entirely new terrain.
Really? I guess all that stuff I just said about transsexual empire was me being delusional paranoid. I guess the copy of it that I've got sitting on my desk right here is an illusion. Yeah. Yeah.
This is entirely new terrain. This is, however, the kind of terrain that that your kids are going to encounter when they go to the university. This is the kind of issue that is now being debated not only in academia, but now also in the media. It's the kind of issue that is going to become one of the flashpoints which may allow some persons to understand the depth of our current confusion. That's the big issue. How confused as a culture do you have to be to seriously ask the question, who is and who isn't and who never was a real woman? Or for that matter, who is and who isn't and who never was a real man? With the issue here being what are presented as surgical options. Again, most people just don't realize that the ideology behind the whole transgendered movement is that we internally, as autonomous human beings, have the right to decide what gender we are. The physical limitations with which we were born, most of us, the vast majority of us being born as either clearly male or clearly female.
Whoa, minor props due to the guy here. Okay, vast majority of us being clearly male or female. Okay, so he doesn't explicitly say anything about it. You know, he if you're not clearly paying attention right at that second, you're going to miss it. It seems as though he actually has some knowledge of intersex people. At least, you know, somewhere in there, he knows that there are some people. Apparently, he even accepts the idea that there are some people who are not clearly male or female at birth. And for me, and I think for all of us, we have to latch onto this. The minute, and I realized, you know, this is going to sound like we're using intersex people. And, you know, on one level, you know, sorry, but in a way we are. Because once you acknowledge that, game over. Because then it simply becomes a degree of, you know, what actually is the biological trigger? What exactly is the difference? What exactly is the gray area? Once you acknowledge there's a gray area, his game is over. He's lost. And I don't know if he's totally aware of that, and that's why he just totally glossed over that, or what the hell's going on. But we have to be willing to pounce on that. We have to be. Once someone acknowledges that, game over. Because if you can acknowledge someone comes out of the womb and they have genitals that are somewhere in between, there is no logical reason for the law not to recognize that there are other aspects of the human body. And I've asked this in a number of instances, and no one's ever been able to, no one's even bothered to come back with an answer. People want to distinguish between the genitals and the brain. Well, genitals, that's physical. Brain, that's psychological. I'm going to ask it here, like I've asked it in a number of forums. Since when is the brain not part of the body? The same stuff, whatever it may be, that causes the genitals to be somewhere in between can cause the brain to be somewhere in between. QED. He doesn't know it, just like he didn't know he was being butt-fucked by the facts earlier. Right there, again, the game wasn't over before, it's over right there. But, of course, he keeps talking.
That seemed to be merely a physical construct that may either correspond with who we know ourselves to be or not correspond with who we know ourselves to be. And the ideology here is that if you feel that your physical construct and your social construct does not fit who you are inside, then you have not only the right, but frankly, the obligation to change your social construct, that is, the way you present yourself in public, and even your physical construct, through gender reassignment surgery, in order to be who you want to be. Now, another interesting thing going on here is we should footnote the fact that many of these persons evidently also change their mind. As a matter of fact, the first prison inmate in Great Britain to have received one of these operations in recent years and did so at the taxpayer expense of Great Britain now wants to have it all changed back. So evidently, it's not only who this person thinks he or she is at any given time, but what they may think in the future as well. Back to the New York Times, the reporter says the conflict has raged at some women's colleges and has been explored in academic articles, in magazines for lesbians, and in alternative publications, with some oversimplifying the issue for effect, such as the question, is lesbianism dead? Now, let me just tell you, at a couple of the leading women's colleges, and these are the very liberal women's-only colleges up in the Northeast, this has become a real issue. In other words, what about a boy who has undergone a sex change operation to become a girl, a young man who's undergone the surgery to become a young woman? Can he be admitted as a woman at these colleges? Increasingly, the women are saying no. So here you have feminism and the new sexual revolutionaries who had been absolute allies in the culture war. Now,
you know, what does this guy do? Make up history as he goes along? Absolute allies? I mean, when and where was that actually the case? Now, it probably should have been, and that's the argument transsexuals have made over the years, but let's face it, that ain't the way it was. Again, go back and read your Transsexual Empire, or shit on it. That's actually a more appropriate thing to do, but, you know, it helps to, you know, refresh your memory as to what basically right-wing lesbians, because, I mean, remember, the ideas in the Transsexual Empire were effectively eagerly adopted by right-wing religionist theocrats in sanitized form. There was a paper written by Herr Raymond, with all the anti-transsexual stuff, without a lot of the lesbian feminist stuff, that was pretty much adopted by the Reagan administration. Wonder if they really knew. But again, what this guy has to say about history and who was whose ally? Come on, give me a break.
Now finding themselves at odds, with one saying, look, the individual has the right to say he is or she is whatever he or she wants to be. And gender assignment surgery simply kind of confirms that point. And others saying, no, this is a school only for women who always have and always will be women, women born as women who are still living as women. Folks are living in very interesting times. I mentioned this Michigan Women's Music Festival. That's MOMY. Remember that that is the effort by some very hardline ideological feminists to remove the letters or the word men with the letter E from the word women so that there is no taint whatsoever of having any association with men. But, you know, if you're having this women's festival, evidently you have to decide who can come and who can't. And they limit this to, quote, women born as women and living as women. But what I found really interesting on the website for this music festival is the fact that many of these women need childcare, and they bring their kids. And if you do bring a boy, let's say you are a lesbian, and of course here you have to be a woman born as a woman, living as a woman, and you are the mom of the little boy, you can bring him, but he's going to have to go to camp. He's going to have to go to camp so that the little boys don't contaminate the rest of the festival, where it's women only, born as women, living as women. Folks, this is the time for us to discuss what this tells us about our culture. And it's also the time for us to discuss how do we respond to this.
I feel confident that neither this character nor probably any of his avid listeners would have the slightest clue about what to do that was truly Christian regarding this or anything else. As for what it says about culture, well, it does say a lot about what passes for lesbian culture, at least lesbians of a certain generation, and you do need to continue to remember that it's people, lesbians of that generation, that have had a continuing effect on our exclusion from the gay community and employment within the gay community. Okay, now I'm kind of running out of time. I want to edit a little bit out of this character's, this particular episode of this guy's program, not for content or anything, just to kind of wind things up. I goes on to start talking about California, and that's starting to sound kind of interesting. Let's pop back in.
This is the kind of article that would really prompt some interesting discussion with teenage children or young adult children. You know, and how do we relate to people like this? Because I guarantee you they're going to meet people like this. According to the same news story, there are approximately, and these are rough estimates, but approximately 13,000 men who have undergone surgery to become women and approximately 5,000 women who have undergone surgery to become men. They tend to be inordinately localized in metropolitan areas, especially on the two coasts, but they're really spread all over America. And an exponentially larger number of persons are presenting themselves, having been born a man, presenting themselves as a woman, or being born as a girl, presenting themselves as male, in ways that do not involve gender reassignment surgery. Now, I can just promise you that if your kid is going to college, your child is going to school, they're going to be confronting some of these questions, and they're going to be confronting them in interesting ways. I mean, earlier this year on this program, I dealt from California with what happens when parents are faced with elementary school-aged children who go to class on Monday, and it's now Mrs. Jones, where it had been Mr. Jones on Friday. In other words, what happens when you've got a second grader who's now facing this whole sex reassignment issue because his teacher just decided to change gender assignment? You know, what happens in terms of marriage law? That is a raging issue in terms of legal debate. Let's say that here's a woman who undergoes sex reassignment surgery to become a man. Can she now marry another woman legally, even in a state that does not recognize same-sex marriage? And evidently there, that's an unsettled question in some states. This particular news story says that it has been successful in others.
Well, we're on the radar, folks, and always keep it in your mind that once these nutcases start including language that does explicitly fuck us, that, and I mean anti-gay marriage law that does not require judicial legislation to fuck us. Once that happens, what are our friends going to do for us? In your heart, you know what the answer is. Now, you know that certainly there are some individuals who give a damn. I do. But if they're in charge anywhere, it's in some local organizations. The people who drive the industry don't care about us. When these things start explicitly fucking us, we're going to be fucked probably for the rest of our lives. I mean, I'm speaking as someone in her early 40s. But even if the pendulum swings back, our friends are only going to worry about laws that get them what they want. They're not going to go back and help us. But it's the old thing. Well, gay marriage will help everybody. Well, that example that this character just gave. Sure, if gay marriage was legal, those two hypothetical individuals that he talked about would be able to get married. But it would be two women. The law would be recognizing them as two women, not a post-transition male and a woman. The stealth part of the gay end of the gay marriage agenda is to wipe out transsexual existence. They can lie and say whatever the fuck they want, but they don't like the fact that we exist. They don't. The Michigan Transphobia Festival is not the anomaly that our friends would like us to think it is. Now, I've only got a few minutes left. I want to try to get a little music in, but first, a campaign message. Not necessarily related to anything I just talked about, but something I thought I'd toss in nevertheless.
Folks, send money. And remember, the only chance to affect fundamental change in Texas politics is with our campaign. We're the campaign that can galvanize and motivate the unlikely voters to vote in November and to really make change. I was at a funeral last week. A friend of mine in Kerrville died, Bill Hardin, 83 years old, Presbyterian church. The minister was reading from John in the New Testament. And he says, the good shepherd knows and recognizes his own, and his own know and recognize him. And when the wolves come, the hired hand flees. Ah, but the good shepherd stays. The hired hand, folks, the governor, has one eye on Washington right now. He's thinking of being vice president of the United States, running on the Republican ticket. He's thinking of a big house in Washington while he's running for governor of Texas. When the wolves come, the hired hand flees, but the good shepherd stays. I want to be your good shepherd. I want to be the good shepherd for Texas. It's time somebody was.
That, in case you're wondering, is the next governor of the state of Texas, Kinky Friedman. And people who haven't been following the campaign, he managed to make it onto the Texas ballot as an independent, which is an accomplishment unto itself. And his campaign is being managed by the same guy who helped Jesse Ventura win in Minnesota in 1998. If you're in Texas, please, please. It's the only way that things are ever going to get shaken up down there is to get somebody from outside the psycho Republicans and the pussy Democrats. I mean, that's all there is to it. But, you know, go back and listen what Kinky had to say, you know, he's Jewish. And I'd say he's more of a Christian than 99.999999% of the people you hear on the so-called Christian right. I mean, that's sad. Well, let's face it. It's reality.
And patience save the best for me. Well, I walked all alone in the garden until I found a rose. Love's working out for me. There's someone watching out for me, and I found something more to believe in. When I found a rose, loneliness.
Yeah, okay, that's not Paul Williams' best song by any means, but it happens to be on the same album where he has the theme from the old Clint Eastwood movie Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, which is my favorite Clint Eastwood movie, and a decent the theme is decent too, and I kind of like the name of it, just Rose. You figure out why. Coming up on the end of the 54th edition of I'd Rather Be a Trans Flake Than a Trans Fake. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And during the process of compiling this show, I think that things have finally gotten rolling to where this is going to be available by podcast. I'm not sure about the details yet, but I've kind of got my fingers crossed. I've been talking with Ethan about it, so keep my fingers crossed, keep yours crossed as well. I will be back very, very soon, and you're listening to the Trans FM Radio Network. Mm-hmm.